416.
Authorize a contract with the lowest responsive bidder for the construction of the cured in place pipe southeast rehabilitation project number E10682 for $2,260,000.
Okay, could you give him a hand with the PowerPoint connection there?
Mark. Yeah, thank you.
Notice you have 8 minutes, not five, not 10, but 8 minutes.
That's very precise.
We'll make sure we hit the 8 minutes. So, thank you very much. As you know, we're here to ask permission for a construction contract. With me today is Colleen Harreld. Colleen Harreld's the project manager for this effort. She has a very short presentation on the project. It's similar to those that you've seen, and I'll turn it over to her.
Great.
Good
morning, Mr. Mayor and Commissioners. My name is Colleen Harreld. With me is Scott Gibson. We're here today to ask for authorization to approve an ordinance to advertise the $2.3 million CIP Southeast Sewer Rehabilitation Contract. This project is part of the BES's Phase 2 large-scale sewer rehabilitation program, which is approved in our current capital improvement budget. Just a recap of our large scale, there was phase one that occurred and is complete and through construction. There's also a phase three in pre-design currently, and it's a line item which indicates that these activities require a continuous reinvestment and that the Bureau is planning for these activities. Currently on this slide is the entire program shown in purple. This map has 23 neighborhood project areas outlined, and the project follows the system needs and targets the worst of the worst pipe in the city. Our project today, the CIPP Southeast project, is shown in green, and I'll talk to you a little bit about it on the next slide and why it looks so different. This project is located in Tabor Powell areas and also has pipe brought in from East Moreland, a project that was not able to be done in that contract. And this project is, most of the time our projects use neighborhood boundaries and are on the neighborhood scale. This project was compiled with pipe that is defined by the construction method. We're going to cure in place this pipe, and I couldn't stick to the neighborhood boundaries that the program did. The next slide indicates just some pipe defects of the pipe that we're going to rehabilitate. It's highly deteriorated pipe. It has root intrusion, the usual broken pipe, rats and nests, and we're replacing and rehabilitating the sewer main. We're rehabilitating the sewer mains. Some of the laterals will be reconstructed, and the manholes will be rehabbed. This will protect against public health, property, and the environment. This will protect public health, property, and environment, increase sewer system capacity and reliability, and reduce the risk of sewer releases to homes and businesses. This rehabilitation method is completely trenchless. This is what we're doing to the mainline sewer pipe. It's a flexible liner that fits inside the existing main. It is like a sock being pulled into the pipe. It is has a hollow tube. It is pressurized by air to that existing pipe. Heat is added. It's cured in place and forms a ridge smooth surface. In this picture, these are stock photos, again, from our website. We work with InSituForm and Michaels. They're two global companies, but they have a very local presence for our work, and we work very closely with them to achieve cured-in-place pipe. The cost savings of cured-in-place pipe versus open cut can be one-third of the construction cost. It defers pipe replacement up to 60 years. This is a very new technology. Actually, it's 40 years old, so hopefully it adds even longer service life to our pipe, and time will tell. The community impact, this has very little community impact because we're lining that sewer through the manholes. As the main line gets larger, sometimes we do have to remove the cones of the manholes, but it's very non-invasive. As you see in this photo, one of the detriments of this is that it has an off-gas that contains chemical styrene. People who live and work near a CIPP repair project can sometimes smell this chemical odor. The odors from that resin liner installed inside the pipe. The odor dissipates quickly, especially if it's windy and the air is moving, once the installation process is complete. The amount of airborne styrene the repair process produces is not a human health risk. Our project overview, some statistics about this project. This is a fairly small project for our large diameter program. It's 29 pipe. It's 1.1 miles of length. It runs from 8-inch diameter to 36-inch diameter pipe. Much of the pipe, 93% of the pipe, is 90 years old, which is amazing that we can cure in place 90-year-old pipe still. It has 95 residential streets, 5 major streets. 17 are located in the northeast, with the rest in the southeast. And the public impact, I want you to know some key items. The Werkner Creston Elementary School is a 10-inch pipe. We try to do work around schools on the off-season when it's out of session. Our night work and noise variances, we have 8 locations in our noise variance on this project.
And those are, the cure times can be long, so they have to continue into the nighttime hours when they're doing the installation. They're very short duration, in and out in a week.
When the night work is necessary or required, we will use this variance respectfully, and we'll only use it to allow work to proceed past 6 p.m. because you cannot stop once you start curing. You can't say we'll pick up in the morning. You must keep the heat going and the temperatures to maintain that cure time. Again, one item of key issue is we have a sewer that has a manhole in I-84 in the westbound, far westbound lane. Well, the upstream manhole is also located in Providence Hospital, of course, in their back road. So we've been working closely with the hospital and with ODOT to do a taper and lane closure, and working with the hospital to minimize noise and light pollution for the hospital location. And again, we can't stop, so we're going to try and do this over a Saturday night to a Sunday morning and make it very low impact. We have an incredibly talented and efficient public outreach group that we work very closely with. They do outreach for us to residences, businesses, neighborhood associations, business associations, schools, of course, TriMet, and then, again, they've helped me with the communication with Providence Hospital and ODOT on this project. Finally, our budget and schedule. This is a $2.3 million project. It has a high level of confidence at this point. We will advertise, award, and begin work in the fall of this year, and the construction duration will be 8 months or less. And if there are no more questions, Scott has something additional to speak with you about.
So this is so the CIPP technology in these diameters is not something that has an abundance of contractors. Colleen mentioned there are 2 major players in our market, that's In Situ Form and Michaels. Furthermore, since there's not a lot of digging, the sub-opportunities are limited. So our experience has been that this CIPP work has a reduced level of participation opportunities for MWESB. So when Christine comes back to talk to you about our results, I wanted to give you a heads up that we're doing our best across the program to make sure we're making opportunities and we're doing our outreach. This is one where I personally have some concern about whether or not we'll be able to meet our targets because of the type of work. We do have traffic handling, and we do have some other smaller opportunities, concrete cutting, et cetera. But 2 of our main opportunities are paving, and the other one is trucking. And with the trenchless technology, in these packages, we don't have those 2 opportunities. So we would expect to see a slightly lower percentage on this than we do across the rest of the program. I just wanted to let you all know that that's where I think we're heading. We're doing our best to manage it. And that's all I have to say about that.
I very much appreciate you being mindful and upfront of those challenges. And maybe instead you could tell it, or as well as when you come back with whoever gets the contract, you could let us know what the company is doing to diversify its own workforce and encouraging, you know, the Argonne Women's Tradeswomen and others to apply for apprenticeships and such. That would
I'll do that. I'll talk to Christine about that.
Well received if they would be willing to do that. I have one question. You had mentioned that the styrene is not hazardous to humans. Is there any data that it might be hazardous to smaller beings such as domestic animals, birds, bugs?
I don't know the answer to that. I assume that the non-invasive, non-environmental issues extend that far, but I can't answer that. I will research it for you, though.
Yeah, if you could just let me know. I mean, you've done such a good job, it sounds like, of notifying neighbors, being up front, you're going to notify whenever you're going to use the noise variance and such. I think people would understand if they were asked to keep their domestic animals inside for the day or something like that.
Sure.
That's great.
And if necessary, and if it's not, then we need to know because we'll be getting the calls of why is this smell and is it hurting my dog? Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks very much. Okay, anyone want to speak on this item? If not, it passes the second reading. Okay.